This fall, fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at MinkyCouture.com.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Time to rise and grind with the early line on the Sports Grid Network, Sirius XM Channel 159. Donnie Wrightside and Joe Ranieri. And as you know, over the next 3 hours, we got you covered on all the hottest topics across the sports landscape. And the best part about this show, we do it live, baby, which means information coming in 24/7, which includes a big-time trade that we're going to talk about over the next few minutes here. But Joe Ranieri, the passion is high. The underdogs are rolling in the NBA, and we're ready to do it.
You know, if I remember correctly, Donnie, on Monday I was here with you, and part of the Fade the Public question was the public loved both favorites that night. And there was somebody here going, I don't know about that. Maybe the dogs are barking. And yeah, we haven't had a home team win a game yet in the NBA playoffs.
Dogs are certainly barking. Another couple set of games tonight in the NBA. We're going to preview a little bit later. Full Major League Baseball card and a lot of day baseball action, which you love to see. But let's get right into it. If you were waking up this morning and you needed breaking news on the early line, you got it. George Pickens, wide receiver formerly of the Pittsburgh Steelers, has now been traded to the Dallas Cowboys. Roughly a third round pick and some pick swaps here. The ultra talented, ultra headache wide receiver now goes from the Steelers to the Cowboys. When you heard this news, Joe, what did you think?
Well, how much of a train wreck do you have to be for the Steelers not to be able to corral you in? I mean, honestly, if they're willing to cut bait with you at this point and not give you a long-term contract, mind you, this is Antonio Brown's former team. I'm curious here what this is going to look like in Dallas here, because of any team and organization I thought would be able to rein him in, it would have been the Steelers, but I guess we're wrong at that point.
I'll tell you, we'll talk about it a little bit later in the show, but you're right about this. If Mike Tomlin can't handle it, like Antonio Brown left, and just basically, you saw what he did to his career. Plaxico Burress left, shot himself in the leg. Santonio Holmes was catching big touchdowns in the Super Bowl, played himself out of the league as well. George Pickens, here's the interesting part too, which again, we'll pick it up a little bit later. This guy wants a pay raise. This guy wants the football. This guy's going to Dallas where CeeDee Lamb gets 75% of every single target comes his way. If this works out, it will be fantastic for the Cowboys. But for a guy who quit multiple times already on the Steelers over his short 3-year career, good luck down there in Dallas. Now, let's settle in on some of the more important things here, and we'll get back to the NFL in just a few moments. What happened? The Pacers. Oh, no. Look at this. The Cleveland Cavaliers don't have too many players in their lineup. The Cavs are blasting the Pacers all the way through. You saw that final score last night, 120-119. Tyrese Halliburton with a rebound, with a step back three, and another victory for the Pacers over the top-seeded Cleveland Cavaliers.
Him and Aaron Gordon have this just knack of burying teams late in games and making the big shots, don't they? But, I mean, listen, Donovan Mitchell put the Cavs on his back last night, and for three quarters of that game, Donnie, they were without a doubt the better team in every facet. The final 6-7 minutes, unbelievable what we witnessed, and ultimately Halliburton with the dagger to put the Cavs now in a big 0-2 hole in this series.
And now you're going to be rushing players back too, Joe, saying, look, I don't know if you're 100% or healthy or ready to play, but we're down 0-2. The worst case scenario, 0-2, right? Where you played on your home court, lost two games on the road, coming back home, home cooking, let's even the series up. No, now you got to go on the road and win two of those games just to get home court advantage back in your favor, a major advantage for the Pacers on the verge of a monster upset if it does happen here. Now, as Joe just told you as well, a lot of injuries there to Cleveland. Still had a nice lead here. Eventually, that's certainly going to work against you. They end up losing that game by one. Having said that, Look at the Golden State Warriors last night. 99-88 victory, setting the clock back to the early 1990s in the playoffs in the NBA, it seems. But you take a look and say, man, Steph must have went off. Steph played 13 minutes, scored 13 points, hurt his hamstring, and still the Warriors were able to beat the Timberwolves and hold them to under 90 points. Defense wins championships. We've always been told, Joe Ranieri.
Oh, it was, if you watched that game last night, you watched basically Minnesota build a house in front of you with the amount of bricks that they were throwing up at that backboard. I have never seen anything like it. Now, it can't be, it absolutely can't be like the, everybody swears time off helps these teams, that teams that had to play seven games and had fewer days rest, that doesn't help them. Well, that's not what we're seeing here, because Minnesota looked like they hadn't played basketball in about a month last night.
Yeah, Rudy Gobert retired after that 2020 game against, in game number five against the Los Angeles Lakers. Last night returns back to a nice 9-11. Julius Randle, 18 points there. Anthony Edwards, 9 of 22 from the floor. Certainly not good enough, but come on. Steph misses basically three quarters of this game, and you get beat on your home court when you're rested by double digits. It's insane. And by the way, Draymond Green, shout out, shot 10 3-point shots and made 4 of those last night. So figuring that, you know what? We don't need Steph Curry. I'll do the damage here from the 3-point line. But an interesting overall scenario where the dogs are running wild right now in the NBA. If we take a look here at some NHL action, the Carolina Hurricanes in overtime knock off the Washington Capitals 2-1. No surprise, because I believe, Joe Ranieri, the favorites in this game were the Carolina Panthers, correct?
Yeah, they were, and a lot of people are scratching their heads in this one, and it was, this is what you would expect to see in round two of the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs, a very tight game, goals at a premium, and Carolina got one more than Washington last night, but I do think this series, this has got 6-7 games written all over it.
Could it be the Edmonton Oilers turning into the Edmonton Spoilers right now? How about this? Vegas. Yeah, you know what? We're going to cruise to an easy victory with a nice first period lead, only to see 4 straight goals by the Edmonton Oilers and a victory by the Oilers on the road in game number one of their series against the Golden Knights.
Yeah, and I can tell you this, too. The first time in history we've had a team in the NHL playoffs go 5 consecutive games where they had to actually come from behind to win. And again, Edmonton last night down 2-0 early on the road in Vegas. They came back and won a 5th straight game that way. Kind of crazy right now with Edmonton.
Absolutely. Kind of crazy. Sometimes you get in the Windy City of Chicago. How about a late surge, including 9 runs, Joe, in the top of the 11th inning to knock off the Cubs 14-5 in the Windy City. 23-14 now for the Giants, 22-15 on the season for those Chicago Cubbies.
Yeah, listen, Giants were winning that game the entire way through, and the Cubs kind of clawed their way back into it, only to watch the both teams, by the way, had opportunities in the 9th and the 10th inning, but my goodness, the Giants just said, enough of this, we want this game to end, and boy, they ended it with a 9-run 11th inning. That'll do it there, Donnie.
More baseball talk here. Walk it off, as they like to say, with the Braves, Marlins, and Royals doing the damage on a Tuesday. And I love to see the walk-offs, specifically when you have the ticket in your hand.
Yeah, you got to love walk-offs, in, especially this time of year, especially with the big dogs, too, because all those dogs last night that walked it off, somebody hopefully going contrarian made a pretty penny last night.
Absolutely. And how about this? Usually you pay a pretty penny if you want somebody's number from a certain football team when you get drafted there. Well, sometimes it's different when you're a 5th-round pick. Shedeur Sanders no longer going to be number 2 at, for the time being, for Cleveland. He's number 12, paying homage to Tom Brady.
That is, yeah. Okay, well, let's hope he still has a jersey, shall we say, halfway through camp. What do you think, huh? Denver, fingers crossed?
By the way, you know what makes it interesting with this, too, is you look at the whole scenario. Like, if he got drafted number 2 overall, they just take number 2 off of the veteran wide receiver that's on the football team right now. But since you're a 5th-round pick, you got to earn your way into that number right now, as it seems. We'll see. By the way, OTA's minicamp for rookies opening up shortly here in Cleveland. The fans get a glimpse of Shedeur as number 12. So many hot topics on the docket, include the NBA thrillers. Let's talk about them next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at MinkyCouture.com.
Hour number one in full effect right here for the Early Line Sports Grid Network, SiriusXM Channel 159. You know, we have NFL trades going down, NBA action, NHL to the max, Major League Baseball. It's such a great time. And just a little bit later in the show, too, we have an interesting topic on why is horse racing only one race per year? And how can we do much better for the people to try to build people to actually get involved in horse racing? But that's going to come a little bit later. We need to focus on what's going down here in the Eastern Conference, particularly between the Pacers and the Cleveland Cavaliers. Who would have thought before this series started that we'd be heading back with a 2-0 series lead back to Indianapolis? You say, everybody, that's the Cavaliers, Joe. 2-0 series lead, of course. They're the best team in the Eastern Conference. Oh, not so fast. A 121-119 victory yesterday, which includes a 2-0 series lead for the Pacers as they head back to Indianapolis. It's unbelievable how this is weighing out. And also, what was your feelings before we get into the game itself, Joe? You saw the injuries come down for the Cleveland Cavaliers. You saw the line plummet down. What were your thoughts before that?
Well, I didn't understand a line originally, Donnie, because I think after they lost game one, I had seen 10 and a half floating around. And then all of a sudden we learned about, well, we're still not sure if Garland, even though he's practicing, we're still not sure if he's going. Then you find out about Mobley's issue. Then you find out about the Andre Hunter's issue and you're going, oh boy. But the market as of yesterday morning, Donnie, was still sitting at 9 points. Without knowing if any of those guys were going to play. And even at 9 points, it doesn't. Are we all watching the same play here? It's not like the Pacers weren't the Eastern, made it to the Eastern Conference Finals last year and were a couple of wins away. Like, this is the same team, and it feels like the market has fallen in love with the Cavs and completely forgot about the Pacers. And yet, Donnie, here we are, up 2-0, heading back to Indiana to play, and we still don't know the health of those three very important pieces for the Cavs.
And that's the key too, right? Because you take, like, the Cavaliers built as a whole are a fantastic team. Depth in the starting five, depth off the bench. Yeah. You take two or three players out of that rotation, it's going to hurt you. The Pacers are a good ball club, but it didn't seem like it hurt them right off the bat yesterday, Joe. 32-15 in the first quarter. They're headed back to Indianapolis. You know, Indiana's just cooked right now. They know it. They'll probably rest their starters in the second half. No, they absolutely stormed the fourth quarter, 36-21 to win that game. And they needed a missed free throw and a rebound and a step back three to get that done. Now, if I would have told you the box score before this game started, hey, by the way, Donovan Mitchell's going to play 36 minutes and drop 48 points in this game. Sign me up. Blowout victory for the Cavaliers. He almost scored 50 and they couldn't win a game at home.
And he really, I mean, it was, you had a feeling. I mean, Donovan Mitchell props were off the board last night. I mean, you just knew he was going to have to be the guy the minute nobody else was playing. But I got to tell you, you know, Haliburton had to leave in the second quarter, had a wrist injury, had to get it x-rayed at halftime, Donnie. We didn't know if Haliburton was coming back for the Pacers. And yet, boy, oh boy, did he make it back. And now, fourth consecutive game without your all-star guard and Garland there. Hunter and Mobley defensively, boy, they could have used those guys in that game last night. But the Cavs led the game the entire way until the final second of the fourth quarter. That is how head-scratching this loss is to the Cavs. And now how do you pick yourself up to go on the road? You go down 3-0, we already know what history tells us there. I mean, you want to talk about if you thought this was a must-win, wait until you get a load of what game three's got to be.
You know, it's interesting, too, because you look at the final score, 120-119. Game was over the total. And I thought the correlation would be yesterday that the Indiana Pacers, which I liked, I think everybody liked them, getting close to 10 points here, even before we heard anybody was sitting out. But also, I thought the correlation would be if the Pacers won, this game probably goes over. If the Cavaliers won, this game probably stays under. The Cavs scored 119 points and lost this game because they couldn't play any defense either. You look at the starting lineup, you say, you know what, I need other players to step up. Jared Allen scored 22. You love to see that. Max Strus scored 23 points. But then you have Ty Jerome, with. I think shot 20 times in game number one, shot 14 times in game number two, only made one field goal for 2 points. Like, other guys have to help you. Like, if your superstar's out here, yes, I understand he has to shoot 30 times a game and he scored 48 points. Somebody play some defense. Like, defense should be the easy thing to do. We know the Pacers are a good team. The Pacers were also 20-20 as a road team in the regular season. Now you take a look at it and say, man, where's the defense out for the Cavaliers? And really the Richter scale shift now in the series pricing. But I couldn't get over yesterday. Boy, you're getting hit with all the worst case scenarios. You're down 0-1. Your team is injured. And you get that big time first quarter lead. You get that lead into the fourth quarter. Where did it go wrong in the fourth quarter, Joe, for the Cleveland Cavaliers?
Well, it went wrong because they didn't have anybody else but Donovan Mitchell. And he was absolutely... Yes, he was. They couldn't even get the ball over half court. Now, give credit to Indiana because they were down by as many as 20 points on a number of different occasions in that game, but they kept chipping away. But it was all on Donovan Mitchell. And by the fourth quarter, he didn't have anything left. I mean, he was absolutely gassed, and not having anybody who can inbound the ball. They turned the ball over twice in the final minute to give Indiana the opportunity to beat them. It was just, they didn't have anything left. That's kind of the crazy part about this. For a team that's supposed to have so much depth, well, they didn't have it last night, and Donovan Mitchell couldn't save him in the end because he had nothing left in the tank.
You take a look at the starting five here for the Pacers. Yes, Siakam had 12 points. Nesmith had 23. Turner, 23 points. Nembhard, 13. And then Tyrese Haliburton with that monster three-point shot at the end of the game to clinch it. Yep. Ends up scoring 19. You always need help off the bench, which you get. Obi Toppin played 16 minutes, 7 points, but also Benedict Mathurin, 20 minutes and 19 points, 6 of 10 off the bench. You need some of those surges to happen. And this could have been an easy game. Like, if you're looking at the Pacers, mission accomplished. We won game number one. Things aren't working on their favor in game number two, but the fact that they were able to fight all the way back and say, we're going to continue to press, we're going to continue to run up and down the court, we're going to continue to say, Donovan Mitchell, it's all you and you got to beat us alone, and he wasn't able to do that, and the Cavaliers still stumbled down the stretch, Joe.
Yeah, it's crazy too. And by the way, I mean, listen, give the Cavs credit, they came out and punched first, but it was Indiana turned the ball over 12 times, Donnie, in that first 12 minutes there, which is why they had such a 32-15 first quarter. But they just kept fighting. They just kept fighting the Pacers. And ultimately, they were leading when it mattered the most at the end of the game.
Pretty incredible. And as we take a look at to re-rack this series, it's a 2-0 series lead for the Pacers. Can we get a comeback for the Cavaliers? Joe and Donnie, we'll talk about it next right here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at MinkyCouture.com.
Sometimes we ask Joe and here, make it make sense. Make some of these odds make sense to us. Is there value and value in the eye of the beholder? Because if we re-rack this series between the Pacers and the Cavaliers, it's no longer in contention that the Cavaliers are favorites. And a matter of fact, it's a minus 198 price to the Pacers as the favorites, as it should be. They just won two games on the Cleveland Cavaliers home court. The Cavs are banged up. If you say the Pacers, just hold home court, right? Win one of those games to go up 3-1. That is a tough ask for the Cavaliers to win this series out. But as we take a look at the series, we'll get to some other price points here in the Eastern Conference. But let me ask you this. You see those prices, almost minus 200 for the Pacers, the Cavaliers plus 166. Does any of those numbers or price points grab your attention and make you want to jump in?
No, not anymore. The time was, listen, to back Indiana pre-flop because there was so much value on the Pacers because the market absolutely fell in love with Cleveland after they destroyed Miami. A little bit of recency bias there because the numbers pre-flop here, Donnie, were over the top. We talked about it on a Monday going, Why is nobody paying attention to the Pacers here? Well, two games later, and now you have to pay attention to the Pacers. And like I said, I mean, you want to talk about must win, Donnie. If they don't win game three and it goes down 3-0, how am I feeling good about having any Cleveland Cavaliers ticket in my pocket right now?
Like, it's hard to say because I like the Cleveland Cavaliers a lot, but understand the point that we're trying to make here. This isn't the Cleveland Cavaliers of 3 weeks ago, fully healthy, ready to go and say, we're going to hammer you out. Now, granted, they should have won that game last night and they didn't. But you can't let games slip away in your own building when you're still going to be probably injured in the next game. Or if now what we're saying, Joe, is how serious are these injuries? Like, you couldn't gut it out in a playoff game, meaning that you're just going to show up in game number three on the run. Like, hey, man, good to go. Just need that extra 24 hours rest, and now we're ready to go. This is going to be tough here. Like, we're looking at the Pacers pulling off a big-time upset over the number one seed, and it's a combination of, yes, Cleveland's not playing great. Yes, Cleveland is a little bit injured, but also the Pacers not getting a lot of respect heading into the playoffs. That is a really good starting five that has played great basketball on the road and handling their business, which includes that big comeback here. So if we look at the price points again, if I asked you right now, remove the price points. In your opinion, like, what are the chances that the Cavaliers can actually come back and win this? Because it's only 2-0, as I say. You still got to win four games against the number one seed. But if I'm just looking at it optimistically from Cleveland, what's a great game plan? Win one game in Indy, which again leaves you with a 3-1 deficit, which is damn near impossible to come back on, Joe.
Well, and the market's at it again. So here we go. The Pacers and Cavs, without knowing who's playing, by the way, opened up as a pick'em, Donnie, for game three. It's now minus two for the Cavs. So they have to win, which means they're going to win, right? Yeah, that's not how it works. And that's the problem. Without knowing, because I've seen the version of this Cavs without a point guard, and Darius Garland's a darn good one, and he is being missed in a big way against this team. Now, styles make fights, right? It wasn't a problem when you beat up Miami. But it's a problem with the speed, the tempo, and the depth of this Indiana team. You need all hands on deck. And without knowing, Donnie, who's going to be what and what's available, it's very hard. Listen, can they come back and win? Yes, but it has to begin with game three. They have to win that game. Doesn't mean they will. But without knowing the health of those guys, it is so hard to run to the window right now and take a ticket with the Cavaliers.
FanDuel Sportsbook's like, hey, at least the window's open right now, Joe Ranieri. Game number three, which will take place in Indiana, minus 2-point favorite. Not for the Pacers. That's still for the Cavs with a total of 229.5. By the way, when you hear that number or you hear that price point, does that say, sounds right? Or my goodness, they love the Cavaliers.
Why are we not in the 230s with the total yet? How many more games do we have to watch go flying over? It was 229 yesterday's game, dropped down to 227.5, and they still went flying over. And now here we go again, opening up at 229.5. I don't get it. Donnie, what are we thinking? The defense is going to save the day? You're going to have to outscore Indiana. That's the bottom line, which to me seems over every game.
No surprise. Like, it should go 1-1. Like, game three, game four, depending on which one is which, it should go 1-1 here, which puts the Pacers at a massive advantage, which they already have. But let me get you this.
Yep.
Eastern Conference Finals at the FanDuel Sportsbook. Look at these odds. Celtics minus 140, Knicks plus 700, which is why I've had those first and last. Plus 430 and plus 430. Correct me if I'm wrong. One team is a 2-1 favorite to win the series, but we have the same odds to win the East. Make that make sense, Joe. Can you?
Don, I was here Monday in this chair with you, and they were 17-1, and you and I kept saying, that's a bit, they already have one win. They already won nothing. And 17-1? Oh, boy.
The wins don't matter, they're telling us, Joe. I'll tell you when that does matter. The Golden State Warriors up in their series. We'll talk about it next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ah, the NBA surprising every single night. We thought we're going to have walkthrough series here. We're just going to set up here with an unbelievable Eastern Conference Finals and a Western Conference Finals. And now we're starting to say, like, who's actually going to be in the Eastern Conference Finals and the Western Conference Finals? And it continued last night. The Golden State Warriors, they're tired. They had to go seven games. The Timberwolves easily busted up the Los Angeles Lakers in five games. They're waiting around at home. They should be refreshed. They were so refreshed that they scored 20 points in the first quarter and followed up with 11 in the second quarter. 31 points at the break for the Timberwolves. They lose this game by double digits. They only score 88 points in their own building. That can't happen, Joe.
Yeah, no, it can't. Especially given the fact that, you know, in the second quarter, the best player on the team was limping back to the locker room, and you still couldn't turn it around and figure out how to get the ball in the bucket in your own home building, by the way. I mean, just absolutely embarrassing effort by Minnesota. But at the same time, you got to give credit to Steve Kerr and the Golden State Warriors, who absolutely came in with a defensive game plan. They threw the zone at him, Donnie, and you would have thought the Minnesota Timberwolves have never seen it, had no idea how to break it, couldn't find any. They just couldn't hit a shot. It was so embarrassing. And usually you get embarrassing and rust in the first half and you think everything will turn around in the second half. Nope, didn't turn around in the second half. They were even worse in the second half than they were the first half.
It's unbelievable because also, like, you're in your own home building. You see their team's best player in the history of their franchise go down and you say, this is phenomenal. We're going to get to that injury just a little bit more in a second, but I'm just talking about the psyche of the Timberwolves. Oh, we got this game. So you respond with 11-point second quarter at that point. That's embarrassing. And then you let Golden State score 36 points in the third quarter coming out of the break. And by the way, I don't know whatever's in the water in Golden State, and I understand they're playing in Minnesota, but why are they so good in the third quarter? Like, with or without their best player, the adjustments that Golden State makes for the third quarter on a night-to-night basis seem incredible. But you look at the other players that had to step up in the absence here of Steph Curry. And again, they didn't even get to the century mark and still won. Buddy Hield, 5 of 8 from three-point range. I talked about it yesterday with Ben on set, Joe, and I said, wait a second. You're telling me this guy dropped like close to 10 triples the night before, the game before, and it's over 2.5 three-point shots at like a plus 150 price at the FanDuel Sportsbook. He got through there, but also it helped that, yes, Steph wasn't there. He shot 19 times from the floor, but Draymond Green scoring 18 points. That's like double, triple what the expectations for Draymond Green would have been in that game if Steph Curry was healthy. This is the sign of a championship team that understands, and you watched it, Joe, in the first round against Houston. Some of those games weren't pretty. We saw these exact same scores here where the Warriors were winning. They know how to win pretty and ugly, which is great.
And again, it turns out this Jimmy Butler trade could go down as one of the greatest in Golden State history. Because without Jimmy Butler and the experience there of that team, you know, you lose Steph Curry, it's pretty much game, set, match. It's the series is over. But when the Timberwolves show up in a game one and miss their first 16 three-pointers, end up going, what, 5 for 29, and Anthony Edwards started off the game 0 for 10 from the floor. He had 1 point in the first half. I mean, go down the list. DiVincenzo, 1 for 7 from three. They turned the ball over 16 times. They literally looked like they had never seen a zone defense, which is what Golden State was rolling out there. They had no answer for it. They could not figure it out. I don't know if that, I mean, and Chris Finch got to be scratching his head right now going, what are we doing here?
Now, here's the reprieve that the Minnesota Timberwolves might get here. You might be excited. Yes, if you had a Golden State ticket, you love that cash in. If you're a fan, yes, you won game number one. But at what cost was that? Because Steph Curry down with a hamstring injury. We have a video coming up right now with Steve Kerr talking about that injury post-game.
Are you kind of operating under the assumption, game planning under the assumption over the next 24 hours that he probably won't be out there game two?
Yeah. We're definitely game planning for him to not be available on Thursday, but we don't know yet. Yeah. But with a hamstring, it's hard to imagine that he would play Thursday.
What's kind of the, I mean, I know it's early and you'll have a day to really think about it, but as you reset the series without him, what's, like, how do you find enough scoring?
We have to talk about that. We're going to give the players the day off tomorrow. Nothing, no film. They need a day. You know, these games have been every other day. We're flying all the way across the country. Our guys are tired, and they need a rest. They need the day. So coaches will meet tomorrow, and we'll figure out our plan for Thursday.
You heard it in his voice right there, Joe. You heard it. Most times you get a big-time Game 1 series win. Man, we gutted that out. Give him a little bit of a break. Feels good at this point. You can hear it in his voice. If that injury is devastating, which it will be, and if anybody knows hamstring injuries more than me, I had a million of them in my career, I don't think he plays the rest of the series. If he does, heavily medicated and hobbling around, and he will get absolutely torched on defense here. That is the worst-case scenario for the Warriors. They get the victory. You're not going to see Steph for at least a few games, at least.
I don't get hamstring injuries this time of year, Donnie. I really don't. I mean, it's kind of mind-blowing, but that's exactly what we're dealing with. And, you know, it's a 4 to 6 week thing. The only thing that helps a hamstring, Donnie, you know this, is rest. That's the only thing that'll help. They are going to. Now, the good news is, they figured out a way to win game one without him, so that all they wanted to do was really get home court advantage back in their favor. So you needed the split. You got the first one. Figure some things out for game two. But as long, you know, everything is still back on track. 1-1 heading back to Golden State is what you were. That was the game plan. But between now and then, they're going to have to figure some things out with this rotation and the depth of who's going to be what. But I can tell you what, again, quietly, Buddy Hield did exactly what he did in game seven. He was that guy, that Klay Thompson guy again in game one, which helped them, take the 1-0 series lead.
Yeah, but with athletes that don't really, you know, suffer hamstring injuries, it's such a unique injury because it does hurt initially when it happens. But then as you walk around, like, oh, this feels just about good enough. And the interesting part about that is, you know, like the ankles, like, hey, my ankle feels good. Jumped around a couple times. I'm going to be fine for the rest of the game, or let's just say in the next game that I play in. The hamstring injury can reappear so fast at any given time because it's a quick twitch muscle injury, which means you make one cut to the basket. You try to beat one player to the spot there on the court playing defense here, and it gives way, and you're down multiple weeks on top of that. Now, granted, we're not in the room. We don't live the severity of a hamstring injury, but even when you hear how many times NFL players, hey, man, was running around to practice. Yeah, my hamstring grabbed a little bit. That's 2 weeks minimum that guy won't play. Or after a game where they played, like, man, I think my hamstring just cramped up. No, it didn't. You actually pulled that hamstring. It's usually a multiple-week injury. Different, though, in basketball. Like, you can hobble around in other sports with a hamstring injury. You can be an offensive guard and say, you know what? I only move 3 to 4 feet. You can't be a sniper basketball player running up and down the court 10 miles a game and play with a hamstring injury. Devastating, impacting news here for the Golden State Warriors, which if we do look at now the series price odds moving forward, the Timberwolves, even though they lost game number one of their home court, still a favorite, Joe, minus 148. The Wolves at Warriors at plus 126. Let me ask you this question. You see those price points now. If we're just playing devil's advocate with the Golden State Warriors and he comes back, Steph Curry, sooner than later, is that game four, game five? Like, I really like the T-Wolves at this price if I'm going to get a hobbled Curry, if I get anything out of him, Joe, the rest of this series.
Well, I mean, what do we have here? We've got 1 day of rest between each game through game five of the series. So, you know, even if it's a week-long absence, it could, you know, Steph Curry could be out through the first four games, and then who knows what's happening there, because I believe there's 3 days off between game five and game six. So they're going to have to, I think, at least the next three games, Donnie, they're going to have to figure out a way. Can they steal one more? Because I don't see him coming back before game five or game six. So at least he'll have a week and a half in order to figure it out.
And you can't hide on a basketball court. You got to play offense and defense here. Hey, just keep him out. They will isolate him the entire game just to work on that injured hamstring. Tough news for the Golden State Warriors as they take the 1-0 series lead. More talk in the NBA Western Conference up next on The Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at MinkyCouture.com.
Western Conference odds. Now, granted, we're not deep into round number two, but every day we like to take a look and sort of re-rack those odds to see who has the advantages. And more importantly, Joe Ranieri, is there a chance that we can get in and make some money? If we look at the Western Conference odds to be the winner here at the FanDuel Sportsbook, the Thunder, no surprise, even though they have an 0-1 series right now going up against the Nuggets, minus 150 price, the Timberwolves, and once again, an 0-1 series against the Warriors at a plus 450 price. Then the Nuggets at plus 480 and the Warriors at a plus 750. Let's start with the Warriors at a plus 750. They were the darlings like coming into the playoffs. Oh, they should easily be the number two seed. And they didn't get much credit for that. Now, are we looking at this price point still being dead last per se in the odds market for the Western Conference because of what took place last night? Not the victory, but maybe the loss of Steph Curry?
It's all about Steph Curry. It's all about the unknown here of will he continue to be available? And let's be honest, the fact that it's only plus 750 and they have already one game in the book here in the second round, they're lucky it's that here. And I think this is all going to be, again, I don't see anything before game five or game six in this series. But I can tell you this. You know, game two is going to be interesting because we always see, right, the big star goes down. You usually get that big push from a team. It's not like they're void of talent or experience. Can they scrape out another one or two wins here, get this thing to a game six or a game seven? It's very, very possible. Listen, I watched Jimmy Butler do it with a Miami Heat team with a whole bunch of cast-offs and other guys made it to the finals. It wouldn't shock me at all if the Golden State Warriors can make it to the next round without Steph Curry. But I don't know that that number gets any better, even if they win this series here, Donnie. I think it only gets worse.
By the way, am I crazy to look at this? Because the Golden State Warriors, again, without Steph Curry, I don't think they're going to beat the Minnesota Timberwolves. We've seen crazier things happen and maybe injuries happen to the other side. But without Steph, I don't think they're as good, which is why their price point is at plus 750. But I look at the OKC Thunder at a minus 150 price, and I do still think they're the best team in the NBA. But they lost game number one to the Nuggets in a game they should have won. Why? Because when another team's coming off a game seven and then going on the road and you're rested and you're the one seed, you're supposed to be the better team and rested. That's like a double combination, which is supposed to be a 25-point blowout in game number one. It wasn't there. So now you look at the Nuggets. They're at a plus 480 price. I'm more confident, and it's crazy, that the Timberwolves to take their plus 450 price than I am the Thunder at a minus 150. Like, let's just say they were plus 100 right now. Like, the Timberwolves beating the Warriors now, even though they're down 0-1, seems much easier without Steph Curry. I look at the Denver Nuggets and say, hey, look, we probably played our worst scenario basketball game in game number one, which means coming off of game number seven, traveling against, again, OKC rested in the number one overall seed. Am I crazy to think that that's great prices on plus 450 and plus 480 as opposed to taking the Thunder at minus 150 to win the West?
Absolutely. Listen, Nuggets already one game in the books right here. And we know they're not going to roll over, not to mention they still got to go back to Denver, which will be advantage them. I mean, yeah, it's still a pretty decent price. I mean, if you, the Timberwolves, especially minus Curry here for Golden State, should handle business here. They're not going to have another game where they score 88 points. I'm fairly certain of that. But anything is possible in the NBA playoffs here. And right now, if the Timberwolves will go on to win and the Thunder go on to win, are they plus 450 if it's Thunder Timberwolves, Donnie, in the final in the Western Conference?
Whew, man, look at those. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, just the confidence level in OKC. And they're not even injured, right? So we're just looking at them probably playing a good game in game number two. And also, if we're taking a look at some of those numbers where we always expect the zigzags and the bounce back tonight, we'll handicap these games in total. But tonight's Nuggets-Thunder game, we're expecting a big game out of the Thunder. That's -11 to -11.5 across the board. The FanDuel Sportsbook right now at -11. You take a look at the Timberwolves game coming up tomorrow night, and it's like, all right, well, how's that going to play out? Instead of having the 6.5s and the 7s at game time with Steph Curry healthy and playing, that now sits at a 10-point line at the FanDuel Sportsbook. So double-digit lines on higher seeds at home expected to win after coming back and losing game number one. Certainly something to keep an eye out for, which brings us to our next conversation. Forget about re-racking, let's just say, just the Western Conference Finals and how it plays out. Let's take a look at the NBA Finals in totality. Still a favorite here for the Oklahoma City Thunder at a plus 160 price. The Boston Celtics plus 190. The Cavaliers now at a 10-to-1 price. And it's so interesting to say, like, that's why the Celtics aren't really closing the gap because they lost, but the Thunder won. Like, no, like, we're talking about the top seeds all losing. plus 160, plus 190, 10 to 1 at this point here. And you say, man, where can we fit in and try to play better basketball for those home teams? But looking at the overall numbers, Joe, what grabs your attention here in the market to win it all?
Again, it's the team that was real close in the Eastern Conference a year ago finals is sitting there at 16 to 1 and already has a 2-0 lead on a team that is what now 10 to 1, the Cavaliers, which was the market darling. So the team there, I mean, that Timberwolves and that Pacers, right? I think it's those are the two teams that could actually knock down the two favorites, OKC and Boston. I don't think either of those teams are going to make it easy on the favorites. And those are pretty decent prices right now for both those teams.
It is like, because you understand, like you look at the bottom level there, right? It's the Knicks at 23-1 and it's the Golden State Warriors at 23-1. Both those teams aren't alike. Like the New York Knicks are healthy. They won game number one in the TD Garden. They have home court advantage. And again, barring any disastrous injuries, they're going to go back feeling pretty good about themselves, even if it is 1-1 headed back to New York City. But the Golden State Warriors at 23-1, like, yeah, we won game number one on the road. We have home court advantage. And if we're full gas, we probably have a pretty good series with the Timberwolves that we can win now. Now the uncertainty what Steph Curry does buy in. Is there a price point between the Knicks and the Warriors that you look at and say, you know what, I can buy in? Because is there still a thought process that Steph can, for all intents and purposes, miss this series and the Warriors still win this series? Like, I'm having a hard time trying to play that out in my mind.
Well, I think the Warriors have a better shot of winning their series without Steph Curry than the Knicks have of watching Boston miss 45 threes again and in three additional games. Boston had everything to do with the Knicks winning game one. And the Knicks, you know, kudos to them. They didn't quit. But the idea that the champs are somehow going to repeat that kind of performance, I don't think so here. I think Golden State has the best shot at pulling off the upset.
Ah, a couple of these high seeds. You're looking for revenge in game number two. Doubleheader tonight. We'll get back to the NBA in just a bit. But it's time to walk it out, people, and walk it off in Major League Baseball. Hey, hey now. Hey, dude. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at MinkyCouture.com.
MLB headlines from yesterday. By the way, exciting time. And sometimes you have to take a step back because I lost a little bit yesterday. A couple RBI props that hit, needed one more to have a profitable day, didn't get that. But when we talk about like double headers, right, you say, like, okay, how are these going to play out? And just from the way game number one plays out, you sort of get a feel for how game number two is going to be. The reason, in the case in point I bring up, is the Nationals and the Guardians, Joe. Game number one yesterday, the Nationals 10-9, 24 total hits, 19 runs. I'm like, well, I like these players in game number two a little bit more, but more from a Nationals perspective. If I would have been RBI props in game number one, I'd have been smiling all the way to the box office like, yeah, man, give me to the window. Let me cash these tickets. Then in game number two for the Nationals, Joe, scored one run and got four hits in that game. It got blasted 9-1. So I sort of get a little bit of a laugh out of that because we know that usually turns out. But there were walk-offs galore yesterday, runs scored out here, interesting odd scenarios. The Yankees finally put it on the Padres 12-3. What did you get out of yesterday's card? Did you have any fun with it yesterday?
Yeah, no, I mentioned to this earlier, there have been over the last couple of days just some head-scratching lines on some of these games, given what we know about the starting pitching. And Philadelphia was one of them yesterday, where Wheeler was on the mound. They were in Tampa. And, you know, Wheeler, and you're a Phillies guy. So what, Wheeler now minus 120 favorite over Rasmus? Please make it make sense, Donnie. It didn't make any sense to me. And you're going, am I missing something here? No, I wasn't missing anything. He was the better pitcher. Philadelphia has the better lineup. And they ended up winning that game at a just ridiculous price to get Wheeler at this point. against a mediocre at best lineup at minus 120. We may not get that the rest of the year, Donnie.
By the way, I'll tell you something, too. Like, it's glorious, as I want to put it here, where we don't play in the Trop anymore. I watched a majority of that game yesterday and saw some of the highlights. The home runs that are hitting this ballpark, it's like, you know what? Crazy. They would be 30 feet short of the warning track in the Trop because the ball doesn't carry. Castellanos hit a ball that was inside where he turned on it. Like, that's probably a 250-foot flyout. Six rows deep into the outfield. Schwarber goes opposite field to start that game. And then Alec Bowman doesn't have a home run on the season, hits an opposite field home run like 15 rows deep. So I'm saying, you know what? Don't ever go back to the Trop. Don't ever put a dome on that stadium down there in Tampa, as we saw in 8-4 final. But there were a lot of walk-offs yesterday, which included the Braves, who didn't do anything until the ninth inning. The Marlins, who beat the Dodgers yesterday, which was impressive. And then the Royals put it together as well. Walk-offs are a lot of fun yesterday. In a game where Ohtani and Freeman were going nuts and they still lost that game, hey, maybe the Marlins could put something together. A win or two here and there. How about that?
Yeah, and they continue to be a sneaky over team as well, Donnie. And, I mean, kudos to the Marlins. I mean, the Dodgers had to get, you know, they have to deal with some injury news now. And you weren't, I mean, Mookie Betts was a late scratch. Yeah. And they were still pretty much dominating that game until, of course, the very end when they weren't. Miami was able to tie it and then eventually walk it off. But the Braves were an interesting one with Sale on the mound. You thought maybe... Yeah. You might get a little bit of a pitcher's battle, but my goodness, what a great way to end it. Hits when it mattered most for the Braves.
Yeah, absolutely. You take a look yesterday, too. Texas had 16 hits yesterday with a new hitting coach. Does he get all the credit for showing? Like, what did he do to him pregame in there? Did you have a good talk with him? Hey, guys, see ball, hit ball, get out there. Look at that, 16 hits.
Yeah, and boy, I tell you, I certainly like Nathan Eovaldi and how he looks here. And boy, he went in there and was pretty dominant. And you got it. Listen, Texas is a buy low spot for me, Donnie, from here on out, because they are not going. They were never going to be as bad as they have been hitting the ball the entire season. They are going to turn some things around. And I think they this could be the start of something pretty good here for this Ranger squad.
Yeah, the handicap on the set yesterday for me was Nathan Eovaldi having a very good season. I said, I don't care who the two lineups are. Just give me at that price point there. The Texas Rangers and certainly were able to handle their business. As we talk about some other offensive outputs yesterday, the San Francisco Giants, not necessarily known for their offensive output, 14 runs, 16 hits, which include a majority of those in the top of the 11th inning. 19 total runs out there in the Windy City, Joe.
Yeah, and I was pulling for, because I did. I was hoping Verlander would be able to get, you know, get that elusive first win here for the Giants. Right. But he left with the lead, but they coughed it up late and then, of course, exploded for nine runs in the top of the 11th. And that was all she wrote there. But it was he, too, is a guy I'm going to be looking to back here. He's not going to go winless with the Giants here moving forward, Donnie.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. You get a lot of 14 runs as a backup is pretty nice. And by the way, that Teoscar Hernandez injury for the Dodgers, the only thing that can derail talented teams looking to make postseason success is a lot of injuries. And they said he might be down for a little bit of time at this point here. Tough scene for the Dodgers. Hour number two up next on the Early Line.